Well, here's the big deal. This is the one that crops up all the time, doesn't it? The flesh and the spirit. And I think we all have some experience with that. So, Cindy, if you're ready, we'll listen to Mark Rumfellow, The Flesh and the Spirit. Yes, Teresa, the Israel's new covenant is in the future. It's at the second coming of Christ. All right, here's Mark.
In Romans chapter 7, look in verse 15. Romans 7, verse 15, Paul writing here says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." I'm real interested in verse 18 because we're going to take a thought out of that and carry it through the message a little bit. In verse 18, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what, folks? Dwelleth no good thing." There is no good thing that dwells in Paul. As a matter of fact, he emphasizes about it in the next two verses, verses 19 and 20. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." In other words, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 is really opening himself up as to the man that he really is and showing people the conflict that he has in his life. And folks, it's not just relative to Paul. It's relative to all of us that are saved. We have the same conflict in our lives. And in our lives, we're going to find this pitched battle between the Spirit of God that's in us and the flesh that we have. For we know that in the flesh dwelleth what? That was weak. I mean, give it some credit, folks. In the flesh dwelleth what? You got it. No good thing. Now, me, I'm different. No, I'm just kidding. There ain't nothing different about me. As with Paul, there dwelleth no good thing. Then why are we having people present themselves as being hotshot good things today? Here, if you ever could consider a man that could do good and boast about it, I would imagine it would be the Apostle Paul. I mean, this man was endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. He did all the miracles, signs, and wonders that any of the other apostles did. He was given the commission to take the gospel out to the Gentiles, which the 12 didn't have. I mean, this man was a step above all these men, and yet he still had this ongoing problem of the Spirit and the flesh in his life. The battle between those two. And he's saying here that in my flesh dwelleth no good things, as you guys have seen and said. Dwelleth no good thing. And then he says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Did you know Paul did evil? You know, I think about this all the time. Because I think, well, Mark, as a preacher, what should be your attitude? What should be your mental approach to this thing? What shouldn't you do? What is your acceptable lifestyle to fall in? Then I look at these men and go, hey, I'm out of the same cloth that these men are. We're all cut from the same pattern. I mean, how would we accept a man that would commit adultery, then murder a person? Well, we probably wouldn't, Mark. Well, we just X'd out King David. And then when you go into murder itself, look at who you take out. Moses. Oh, wait, not just Moses. Paul. And you think about Moses, too. Now, that was a prophet there. Moses slew the Egyptian. He rebelled against the Word of God because God said, speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock. He smote it. I mean, for all the credit that he gets, you got to look at the other side of the coin. Paul is showing you the other side of the coin. He's letting you see the downside to all this. You know why? Because he knows that there'll be men that will come after him and put on a show. You know what putting on a show is called? It's called performing. Paul said, but how to perform that which is good? I find not. Paul was not an actor. What you saw is what you got. But you know what he did do? He preached the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. I mean, when he preached it, you knew what God said. And that's what people need to hear today. They don't need a man getting up there in a $2,000 suit, being airlifted from place to place, hobnobbing with the multi-rich of this world, and then presenting themselves as some kind of polished human being with no flaws to them. These are just men that are going to go down to the grave. And folks, this book cracks open that outer shell of every human being today. It lets you see what we are all about. And that's what Paul is talking about here when he says, this battle I have, the evil that I don't want to do, he says he does it. Did evil. And you know what's amazing about this? People who were under his ministry, there were mixed reviews. How many of you highly esteem in your heart, in your mind, the ministry of the Apostle Paul? How many of you? Raise your hand. Do you esteem him? Is he your apostle? How about if you don't, raise your hand? Well, what about those of you that didn't raise your hand on either one? Where you at? I mean, I can't figure that out. There's only two options here. Paul, not just as a man, but as the apostle, is to be highly esteemed in love for the ministry's sake, for the work's sake. I highly esteem the man in Christ. But you know it isn't true in his ministry. The man that I thought so highly of, there's mixed reviews coming in on him. For instance, let's check them out. Acts chapter 20. Turn left there and go to Acts 20. Let's check out these mixed reviews. Paul's here at Ephesus, and he has a group of the elders gathered together with him, a group of the men of the church, and we're going to just, he's given his closing statement to these men. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That in itself, my friends, is commendable, and you could preach an entire message on that one verse right there. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, watch, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now watch this. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Can you imagine the close out of that scene, the emotion involved at the end of that scene there? These men wept sore, openly, like the death of a loved one, when Paul said, "You're not going to see me anymore, guys, this is it." I mean, grown men just hanging on him. You can imagine the scene there. That's how some receive Paul. This man that says, "The things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The evil I don't want to do, I wind up doing." This man, they wept sore when he said, "You're not going to see me anymore." But mixed reviews. Go to 2 Corinthians. We'll see the mixed reviews now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you." Now watch this. "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some." Watch this. "Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now the end of that verse 2 is very interesting. There's some Christians there, some Corinthians there, that say that they think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now help me out one more time. What is it about the flesh that we read in Romans? "There in my flesh dwelleth what?" Well then, if they're telling this man you walk according to the flesh, they're telling him there's not one thing good about this man. He's nothing but a sinner. You ought not listen to him. Oh, Mark, you're getting too carried away with it. Well, tell me something, folks. Tell me one good thing there is about the flesh. And a roaring silence comes among the people. It should. There's no good thing. Folks, it is the absolute insult of insults to tell this man that you walk according to the flesh. That he is no good. And you know what's amazing, folks? These people are so late to get on the bandwagon. You hear me? These are Johnny-come-latelys, these Corinthians. Because Paul already knew that he was no good. Paul already knew that in me dwelleth no good thing, that it's sin that dwells in me. Paul already knew that. He didn't have to have them come to the conclusion, oh, he walks according to the flesh. He already knew his fleshly weaknesses, his fleshly desires, his fleshly lusts. He already knew those things. And so they conclude by looking on the outward man, hey, that's what kind of man you have preaching in front of you. Look, Corinthians, we don't need this guy. What we need is a real polished individual. We need someone who's got their life all in order. We don't need this Paul. He's walking according to the flesh. That's what they're saying. So then he asked them later down in the verse. Verse 7. "Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust himself, if any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." I mean, they had reached the point saying, this man isn't even saved, probably. Imagine. You know what the problem is? You got people that are just negative. They're negative all the time. They wake up negative, they live their day negative, and they go to bed negative. There's not a positive thing in their lives. They'll never see a positive. A positive will never happen to them. No good thing will ever come their way. So they adapt that mentality. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me back to a fellow back in the 1800s. Had a little shack out there and had a little porch out front. One day there were some men out front of his house and they were laying these metal beam looking things side by side. And it went and stretched. They had worked that thing down. It just disappeared into the horizon. A few days later they had a little building next to those two rails laid down. And these workmen are coming by, and he's sitting on the front porch whittling. He's watching them. Every morning they'd come by, and they'd go in there. He said, "Guys, what are y'all doing?" They said, "Oh, we're going to build a train." "Huh?" "Yeah." So he sat there, and he watched them. He's watching day by day this monstrosity, getting this big metal horse getting built. And they come, and he's out there whittling, sitting on his barrel. They'd walk over to go for a day's work, and he'd say, "Man, you guys will never get that thing moving. Just whittling away." Next day, come along, they'd still building this thing, getting bigger. "Y'all never get that thing moving." Next day, come, "Y'all never get that thing moving." Well, finally, they got it completed. Threw the coal in there, they fired that thing up, that black soot kicked out of there, steam shot out the sides, and then shoo, and it heads down the track. He stands up looking. He said, "They'll never get it stopped." Negative. All aboard. Do I have to repeat the joke because y'all were asleep? Y'all ready to just go home? Huh? What? No good thing. It is evident. Thanks, Sean. It's negativism, man. It's a negative mindset. It's never seeing the positive. It's never seeing that Paul was sent to preach the Word of God in truth and verity. It's never seeing that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And that our whole hope and existence in God through Jesus Christ comes in and through His message. It's the negative outlook. It's the negative view of, "Well, let me see what this man is all about." And once seeing that, it's the gossip, it's the murmuring that begins. Well, they weren't telling this man anything new. He already knew this. So he asked them, "Do we look on the outward appearance?" And you know what? It's a roaring yes. We do. We look on the outward appearance. And folks, we shouldn't. It's not a good thing. If you want to look at my outward appearance, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing this. And what dwells in this? Well, you don't have to look very deep. It's already there. I'm out. I'm out of the closet. There is no good thing that dwells in this flesh, folks. So don't observe this. Listen to the words. I mean, this thing will work down to people coming to our church, and if they have a particular sin nature about them where they're caught up in a habit, and we're looking and judging them based upon their outward appearance, we're going to become very self-righteous in our attitude. It's very self-righteous in our attitude. "Why, you know about so-and-so. Why, you know what they do. You know what they did. Well, they did this, that, and the other. Well, did they get saved?" Well, I don't know about that. That's where it goes. I don't know anything about them being saved. I don't even know if they heard the gospel. But I know where they've been, I know what they've done, and I know who they did it with. But you don't know if they're saved. That's the type thing where we look on the outward appearance. You're never going to see any good. And if you do, it's somebody that's a fake. Think about it. They're just putting on a show. Because deep down inside, there's a dirty, rotten scoundrel in there looking right out at you. There aren't any good people in this world. Bill Moore said, he told me once, he said, I saw the best bumper sticker I'd ever seen before. I said, what did it say? It said, I'm bad to the bone. He said, that's the best one I've ever seen. No, but what do you see today? Turn or burn. Repent. Obey Acts 2:38. In case of rapture, this car will be without a driver. Yeah, right. Bad to the bone. Everybody's bad to the bone. Did you realize when the apostles were gathered with the Lord for the Last Supper, as it's called? You know what the Lord told them? I mean, think about it now. We tend to look at things through our eyes of today. You understand? Our eyes are not the same eyes that were back at this time. So we have to have some real spiritual insight to see things from this perspective. He's sitting there at a table and his 12 are gathered around him. They had been with him all these years in the ministry. And he says, there's one in here that will betray the Son. You know what they did? They all looked over at Judas. And there he is. He's dressed completely in black. He has a black hood. He has a beard covering most of his face. And he's sitting over there smugly going, I will betray the Lord. I will shed his blood. I will sell him out. No. You know what they did when he said, one here will betray me? They looked around and said, is it me, Lord? Oh, is it me? Is it me? They didn't know who it was. They didn't know it was Judas. You know why? Judas didn't go around boasting about, hey, everybody gather around, I'm going to betray the Lord. They put on a show, folks. They cover it up. Paul refers to something in the Scripture called a cloak of covetousness. You put it over yourself. Matter of fact, since we're in 2 Corinthians, turn over to chapter 11, since we're right there, and we'll see their little workings. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Watch this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's a total changeover, pardon the pun, makeover. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, they're the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Transformation. Transformation. Light. Boy, it sounds like Jesus Christ right there. You'd think it was an apostle. You'd think it was a great preacher. Oh, no. It's the worker of iniquity taking place right there. Did you know something about that light? That light can be very eye-catching, but not just eye-catching. Most of us have gone through a situation where, particularly when you're a kid, you turn out all the lights and someone has a flashlight and they put it right in your face. You know what happens when they put that in your face? All you see is the light, but you don't see anything else around it. Man can get that way, you know. The angel of light, he transforms himself into the angel of light, can shine right in your face. And everything's so brilliant that you can't see the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You see, you've got men today that have put on an air of lightness to themselves, and all you see is their perfection, but you can't see the Word of God. Why? Because you've got a light shining in your face to help you miss the truth of the Word of God. These people transform themselves Paul said, hey, I am what I am. This is who I am. These guys changed themselves. These guys, more importantly, changed the Word of God. Changed the Word of God. You see, the beautiful truth to it, folks, and I spent a lot of time on this stuff here, this flesh. The beauty of it is this, that when Christ died on the cross, all the sins of our flesh that we will ever commit were placed on Jesus Christ at the cross. He became our sin. He became then our payment for sin. So Jesus Christ then died on the cross for our sins, and that is the good news today. It's not cleaning this thing up and presenting it to God. You'll never clean it up, for in my flesh dwelleth. Well, you can't clean that up. So then, what we do is we trust in Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus Christ became a no good thing on the cross? That's right. The Bible says He was made a curse for us. He took the curse of the law, being made a curse. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. So Jesus Christ then took our sins, took all the curses of God, removed them, was buried, and His soul went down into hell, and He suffered the pains of hell for everybody in this world. There ain't no partying going on down there. You understand? Oh, man, people. Well, when I go, I may go to hell, but all my friends will be down there, and we'll have a party. Oh, yeah? There ain't no happy hour down there. Matter of fact, there ain't a happy second down there. There's no happy time down there. There's moaning and crying and gnashing of teeth down there. And those people don't want to drink. They want out. You understand? They want out. If we could somehow take a saw and crack this earth in half and get down to hell, you couldn't stop the people from running out of hell. Do you hear me? They would run you over and kill you getting out. That's how bad they want out. Why would you not consider not going there? Why would you consider being complacent and, oh, things will just go day by day in my life, and just sit there and, like you're trapped. Wake up! That ain't a good place. But good news, Jesus Christ went there in your behalf. He screamed, He hollered, He withered down there in pain and agony for 3 days till God Almighty raised Him up and set Him far above all heavens, giving Him dominion over every name that is named. And if you trust in Him, you too can be put in that same position. You see, your sins by faith in Him are forgiven. The curses are removed. Someone's already paid the pains of death for you. Jesus Christ was raised up, and you can be raised up with Him too if you trust in Him. All you have to do is trust in Him. Then the next battle is battling out this flesh and spirit battle, folks. That's where this comes from. This is it, the flesh and the spirit. That's where those of us that trusted in Christ are at today. It's the battle that goes on today. Flesh and spirit. But thank God that in and through our Jesus Christ, we have been delivered and we're looking to get caught up out of here. And being caught up out of here, we'll never have to go through this again. This is misery, my friends. Everything you do to please it is still misery. You ever see a situation where a cat may be in the front yard just sitting there and minding its so-called own business, which all cats have? Then all of a sudden a neighborhood dog comes around, you know, it's sniffing everything and walking. And it comes around the corner and boom, there's that cat. You ever see that before? I have. I mean, that cat gets up, the hair stands up, the hump on the back, and that dog, they don't quite get along. Bless your soul, folks. That's the battle we have going on when we trust in Jesus Christ. The spirit and the flesh, they don't get along. Compatible. So what do? If we have any consciousness, if we have any conviction, we expose ourselves to the things of the Spirit of God. Now listen, do you think the things of the Spirit of God is going to conflict with the Spirit of God in you? I mean, do you think the same reaction is going to take place when the Word of God gets preached? Is it going to affect the Spirit of God in you the same way the cat and dog is going to respond? No. The Spirit of God in you is going to gravitate to the Word of God. So you bring yourself to church. You know, someone, the nickel deal, if I had a nickel for every time, people that claim to be saved say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church to witness. I don't need to go to church to... No, you don't. Let me give you this quick illustration and we'll close. Think of a band that you grew up listening to. You know, your band. Boy, you got all the CDs. You got all throwback, all the 8-tracks. I mean, you got videos on them. When they came on TV, you watched them, whether Ed Sullivan to MTV. I'm trying to encompass everybody here. Boy, they're your band. You got books on them about each band member, when they were born, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden they go on tour and they come right here to Baton Rouge. And your friend goes, hey, that's your band. You going to see them? You go, no, I don't need to go see them to enjoy them. What? They're right there in person. You going to go see them? No, I don't need to go see them to hear them. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Well, neither does someone who's saved by the grace of God, does it make sense for them not to come to church. If it's where you have any conviction about yourself over your salvation, then you're going to gravitate to that in which you love. The Word of God. And let me tell you, the Spirit of Christ in you loves the Word of God. Then bring it. Tell this, that we're going to bring this to church. Therefore, we have Sunday school at 10, church at 11, and Wednesday night study at 7 o'clock. Be here. So we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. For in our flesh dwelleth what? But thank God that by faith in Christ, we have the Spirit in us, seal in redemption. Trust in the Lord and be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.